I like true crime, so I decided to make a true crime podcast where I cover true crime stories year by year.
And I hate true crime, so I decided to beef up my wife's true crime podcast by telling people what was on TV during each one of those murders, or who was winning that wrestling match during that awful rape.
The result is American Timelines, where we cover strange, fascinating happenings.
And sometimes silly stories, and even birthdays. Didn't you always wonder when Don Cheadle was born?
No.
Didn't you at least wonder what the number one song was when Don Cheadle was born?
No.
Well, what did you want to know?
Just about murder. Sweet, sweet, grisly murder.
Well, sometimes you talk about UFOs or ghost stories, too.
Yes, those are cool, too.
And who hasn't wondered what episode of 227 was on during a haunting?
Everyone.
Download and subscribe to American Timelines by History for Jerks. You can hear it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better than it sounds.
It really is.
American Timelines by History for Jerks, the greatest podcast ever.
Warning, the following podcast may contain descriptions that some listeners may find distressing. Listener discretion is advised. Any views are all our own and do not in any way reflect the places where we work. Hello and welcome to Mad or Bad. My name is Rachel.
And I'm Neil. And this week on Mad or Bad, we will be talking and discussing the murder of Chanel Taylor back in 2004.
So this is one that you basically picked out of your own mind, right? Because it's something that you remember.
Well, when you sit down, don't you sit down and think of, you know, what would I be interested in writing about? And this one came to mind because, again, like probably all of mine so far, except the Christmas John Lennon one. We're all relatively sort of
like close to home.
Close to. I mean, I'm going to run out of them soon because
there's only so many murders.
Gladly,
here.
Happily, we live in an area that's, you know, not touch wood, not, you know, there's not a lot of murders. So, but yeah. So as we record this episode, it's
day one of lockdown.
I'm just thinking, yeah, late March 2020, and the dreaded coronavirus and. Hope everyone is, or you know, the vast majority of people that care to listen, you know, well,
keeping well,
yeah,
and being responsible about what you do and what you choose not to do. Please just stay inside. I mean, it'll be interesting. I think we've already mentioned this in one of the last podcasts that we have recorded. It'll be interesting when this actually comes out,
definitely.
To listen back,
yeah,
and to kind of see like where we are at that point in the future. So well, future us.
To be honest though, I mean, when will this one come out? Well, April, maybe?
April or May, start of May.
Well,
I hope things are
things actually
improved.
Could be pretty much the same on or worse, really. Sad to say. I mean, people know this. Not me being the, you know,
you're
being,
scientific,
being unmiserable. No, because obviously we're behind Italy, aren't we? And
yeah, but if people behave themselves and do as they're asked, it could. Well, not hopefully. Get any worse. It could stay the same.
I mean, we...
is what they
I was
say.
Just saying to Rachel that there's a place near us, Matlock Bath, and just down the road, and on a Sunday for years and years, I think we might have spoke about this before, but
yeah.
Loads of bikers, you know, motor bikers go on a Sunday. And obviously, it's Tuesday today. Well, last Sunday just gone.
Mother's Day, wasn't it?
I had a walk. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Mother's Day. I had a walk down there. And I said to Rachel when I got back, the amount of people.
But there's pictures all over the news.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. It was like a bank holiday. Though. It was like an August bank holiday, a sunny August bank holiday. It was absolutely packed.
But what people don't realise is that actually they are contributing to killing people. Like, well, I know that sounds really dramatic, but that is actually the truth.
I mean, what gets me is you've got like loads of people that come. Yeah, there'll be local-ish people there as well, but there'll be a lot of people coming out of the area, coming in there, get, you know, potentially with it, and then buggering off again.
It's crazy. You know. People are just idiots.
But yeah,
hopefully
as of this,
they cop on a bit and start taking it a bit more seriously.
We had a walk this morning, didn't we, and with our baby.
And we, you know, we did all our social distancing.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say that, yeah. And it was like... Yes.
It was quiet.
Really? But that's good to see.
It was
people
nice.
Are,
it was actually really nice.
That people
it was nice
are,
and sunny.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
I think
back,
we shall...
Back to this.
Yeah,
yeah,
we shall begin.
So as I said there in the intro, we're going to discuss the murder of Chanel Taylor back in 2004. So, Chanel Taylor was 23 years old in 2004, and she lived in the former, I mean, a lot of places in Nottinghamshire were pit villages, former pit village called Huthwaite, which from here is probably 15 miles, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably 15 miles, probably about sort of 10 miles from Nottingham, if that places it. So I know the place sort of a bit, and no disrespect at all to Huthwaite. And if anyone, the remote chance that anyone listening that lives in Huthwaite, it's not kind of the place, like a lot of places, it's not the kind of place you go to if you don't know anyone there, or you don't live there, or you don't work there.
Mm.
Because, it, you know, it's just kind of nondescript place. I mean, we're really lucky where we live, aren't we? Because kind of,
well, we live in kind of a touristy place. It's completely different to, like,
yeah, and that, and
a lot of...
I'm not knocking Huthwaite at all, do you know what I mean? But
it just is what it is.
But it is what it is. So, yeah, there's like a Co-op supermarket there. I think there's a
delightful
post office. And interestingly...
And that's it.
or there used to be, obviously, I've just been told about this, a well-known adult shop, let's say.
Oh.
So I was told. No, I've just seen it when I used to.
Did you ever see that big
by
adult shop on the A38?
On
the way to Birmingham Airport.
Airport, yeah, yeah.
What the hell? Like, know, between Derby, like, and of Burton, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's like out of a... It's like an out-of-town,
like,
adult,
like,
shop,
adult,
isn't it?
Factory shop.
Yeah.
Is it for all the truckers? That's what I always think.
All the what?
The truckers. Oh,
all truckers... Well, it's anyone, isn't it, really?
I don't know. It's a weird place for
it
to be.
Yeah, well, you'd need a car or a truck.
Well, it's like, it's one of those places that, like, you'd have to drive to on purpose.
Hmm, yeah, yeah.
It's
but
very strange.
I see what you're saying.
If anyone's ever been there, let us know what it's like inside.
Yeah, we'll next time we go to Birmingham Airport.
When
which
it's
won't
open
be anytime,
again.
Which won't be anytime soon.
Yeah.
Anyway, over to you, Rachel.
Oh, thank you. So back to Chanel. As I say, or as Neil has said, Chanel was 23 years old and very recently married.
I think she was a hairdresser, actually. Just to add another
bit
to Chanel. But it's nice to know what Chanel did.
Mm-hmm. So she was 23 years old, very recently married, although she had been with Lee, her husband, for approximately 4 years. There were several now infamous photographs at the time in the local newspapers of Chanel and her father, Terry Rogers, in the wedding car together.
Yeah, definitely. And I remember just after this happened, you know, obviously I was only a young man at this time, as you'll know. But
you're still a young man.
Well, I know, but you know, I was a very young man at this time. I do remember that when I was sat down thinking about what, you know, which case can we talk about, that was definitely one of the ones that... Are you having a look, Rachel? Yeah.
I'm just having a look.
Yeah, have a look. It's definitely there. If you just Google it, Google Images there. Well, just Google it. And that's what came to mind.
Coming up, Neil.
It's there.
I put Chanel Taylor murder.
Yeah.
Nothing's coming up.
Well,
have you made this
there
up?
the entire case?
This is a
No.
Fiction.
It did happen. Yeah, we ran out of things to do, local, so I made one up. No. So, let's talk about... Well, Rachel just... Google that. Let's talk about Chanel's dad, Terry Rogers, his name. I'll refer to him after this as Rogers. Two reasons, because I'm not going to call him Terry. Because
hey, up, Terry?
Because my dad's name. Because, yeah. Not Terry Rogers, you understand. Funnily enough.
Terry Gregory.
Yeah, Esquire.
Terrance.
So, well, I'll just call him Rogers, because he was a piece of shit, and
calling him
Terry, just, I don't know,
informal.
It just feels wrong, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I know it won't change anything, but it just feels wrong to me.
No, it's quite like informal, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
and
first name basis.
Yeah, and
it's
he was a
weird
piece of shit, I think, anyway.
Piece of shit. So,
let's talk about his dad, her dad, sorry. So, Rogers was born in 1948, so he was approximately 55, 56 at the time of his daughter's death. You know, it's fair to say that he had a tough time growing up. In his formative years, he was put up for adoption and then rejected by his adoptive parents.
Oh.
So, you know, I'm not kind of trying to make any excuses for what's
going
to come.
What age was he put up for adoption, do you know?
I'm not sure. Sorry, I'm not going to lie and make it up.
I'm just wondering, like, was
info.
He a babby, or was
don't
he,
know,
like, a child, you know, like a child who would have known?
I think he knew when he was rejected.
Oh.
When I've looked at comments from one of his brothers, Roy, but... one of his brothers called Roy, but we'll go on to that. So we'll go on to it now, in fact. So his brother Roy stated that Terry was a product of an affair his dad had with a local lady. Whether she was a lady or not, I don't know, but she was a female.
A lady of the night?
No, I don't think there's anything to suggest that. So his parents initially, perhaps not unsurprisingly, split up when, obviously, his biological mum discovered that his dad was having a child with someone else. Roy, Roger's brother, stated that Rogers was treated differently from his siblings. He never knew his actual biological mother, and what was, in fact, his stepmother, so Roy's biological mother, but Roger's stepmother, apparently, according to Roy, made it very clear and from the off and treated Rogers very differently, you know, that he was not her baby and, mm-hmm. you know, that was kind of wanted him to know that. And Roy, I guess unsurprisingly, stated that Rogers, he craved a mother's attention.
Interesting. So as a teenager, Rogers was described as having a chip on his shoulder, although the same can be said of many teenagers, of course. During his teenage years, at one stage, he ended up at a young offenders institute, which, at the time, was called Borstal's. He apparently stole a bike, presumably a bicycle, which resulted in him being sent to this institution. Not sure if anyone has seen the 1979 film Borstal with Ray Winston?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously much too young, obviously, to watch it when it first came out, but it's you know, it's very grim, and I mean, whether it was what's the word, kind of
like over dramatized.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose to an element, to a point, everything is, isn't it, to make it a smooth running film. But even if it's only half the sort of reality that the film portrays, then
still pretty grim,
awful. Yeah.
So on his eventual release, not sure how long he actually served, Roger's brother Roy said that he was very bitter about the experience and that he had actually been sexually abused whilst there.
Which, you know, which must be horrendous if that's true. I mean, and I have read stuff before, nothing to do with Roger's case, but that you know, that did kind of happen. Between, I think, predominantly fellow
inmates.
You know, fellow young people. So it's stated that as an older teenager, Rogers increasingly became kind of derogatory and dismissive of females. He was often heard to call females, you know, whether it be his sisters, any girlfriends he had, and later, as we shall see, his own daughter, one of his kind of often sort of repeated, you know, females are slags, you know, that was his...
Delightful.
Yeah, so that gives you at this stage a bit of an inkling into his... kind of character. And that wasn't just when he was a teenager, which, don't get me wrong, that's not on. But, that, you know, that was when he was a grown adult as well. So after school, he worked, I think, predominantly in sort of security. Whether that was as a security, what do you call them, security guard, whether that was on the doors in clubs and stuff like that. It's not really clear. Certainly the stuff that we could see.
Mm.
But what we do know is, in about the mid-70s, he married for the first time. He was described by his first wife as a bully.
Nice.
And on one occasion, I say on one occasion, it could have been other occasions, but this one particular occasion, he attacked his fairly new wife at the time with a claw hammer, fracturing her skull.
Jesus.
So again, you know, we're kind of progressing, aren't we?
What's a claw hammer?
Well, I think it's just, you know, like a hammer, it's got generally the hammer that we've got, which I've locked away in case Rachel gets hold of, it's got two ends. It's got the end that you knock a nail in, isn't it? Yeah, that's a joke. It's a joke. In case anything happens to me of that nature.
# safeguarding.
Yeah. So, you know, like a hammer, so presumably, you know, one end of an hammer, you'd knock a nail in, wouldn't you, with like a flat.
The other bit's the claw.
Yeah.
I guess you
get some hammers that...
don't have the bit that you knock
the nail in.
That's a shit hammer, isn't it?
Well, it's a claw hammer. Or maybe a claw hammer's got...
A claw
on one side and a hammer on the other.
I'm going to Google it in a while.
Yeah, well, you know, if you've got nothing else better to do with your life.
I don't. We're indoors.
Oh, yeah, we're in lockdown, aren't we? Yeah, I mean, far be it that we ever actually torture each other. We don't want to be doing that, do we?
Yeah.
So that particular attack there was after, apparently, that his new wife told Rogers that she was leaving him. So he didn't want, you know, he wasn't didn't happy with that. That. She's kind of taking control.
Yeah.
So as a result of that attack, he served a year in prison.
Hmm.
You know, for France, you're in someone's school.
I know.
And you get a year in prison. Is that not? Is that me or is it?
That's grand. A year is just, that's like a holiday.
Well, it's ridiculous. Well, I don't know about a holiday, but do you know, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
No, it is bad. So at some stage, he married again, and that was to Chanel's mum. They also had two other children from the marriage. His wife, Chanel's mum, later said that Rogers battered her, attacking her with Stanley knives and even a scythe as a farming tool.
I mean, a scythe's like a massive thing that, like, I don't know if it's used much anymore, but, you know, like what you'd chop corn down with. You know, like a curved...
What the fuck is he doing with that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of farming country around there. I don't know. Maybe...
What a fucking nut.
I don't know. I mean, why would you have a scythe? Oh, God knows. But then again, this bloke's a bit of a...
He's a fucking nutter. He probably collects them. He was heard to speak to Chanel on more than one occasion in highly derogatory terms, such as, quote, "You think you're so good, don't you? But you're a slag." Yet it was Chanel probably more than anyone who showed him love and affection. Chanel asked Rogers, her dad, to give her away on her wedding day to Lee in June 2004. Rogers eventually agreed to do so, but not before quibbling over the cost of the wedding and the plan for the day, Chanel's big day.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether... I wouldn't have thought... I mean, I don't know. I didn't know the man, obviously, but I wouldn't have thought Chanel and Lee were saying, will you pay for the entire wedding? I think he just wanted... It's like a control thing, isn't it? He wanted... Well, what bit am I?
Fucking idiot.
Well, yeah, I think... Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, as we said earlier, there's quite a lot of photos on the internet freely available, which quite upsetting, really. I'm talking about on the wedding day, because when you think about the events of just... Well, I guess... Yeah, just a month later.
Oh, is that all it was?
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, from the wedding day, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, apparently, I don't know... Maybe this had gone on for years, even when Chanel was growing up. But Rogers had frequent arguments with his wife, so Chanel's mum. And after one such argument in July 2004, Chanel's mum basically, I think it said somewhere, kicked him out. I don't know, you know, I don't know well, whether yeah. she waited till he went out and, I don't know, chained the doors.
It's kind of a term of phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, because, really? I mean, can you imagine asking him to, can you imagine trying to kick
after
him out?
You with that scythe thing, scythe. Yeah. I can't say that word.
So after sleeping rough for some indeterminable time, presumably not long, Chanel, you know, she heard that obviously they'd had another argument, which probably wasn't, you know, probably quite a frequent occurrence, but heard that probably he'd slept rough. So she, you know, she said, come and stay with us. I don't know whether an agreed time was set at, you know, come and stay with us for.
Yeah.
It's probably... I mean, Chanel probably thought...
Till you get back on your feet, kind of.
Well, I was thinking probably her mum and dad probably had loads of these arguments.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So she probably thought... Ah,
it'll blow over.
Next week.
Yeah.
3 days. Or whatever, I don't know. But anyway, you know, Lee presumably was in agreement. Yeah, so Rogers went to live with Chanel and Lee in their terraced home in New Street, Huthwaite. So eventually... And again, we don't know exactly how many days on this was from when Rogers actually came to live with them. But Chanel and Lee asked Rogers that, you know, he couldn't be kind of staying here long term. So, yeah.
What's
you know,
the plan?
We're going after, yeah.
Nudge, nudge.
So, I mean,
and that's
whether...
kind of like annoying as well, because they're just married and it's like they kind of probably want to.
Yeah, but Chanel and Lee, you know, this like your dad... Living, you know, living rough, and Chanel's mum described her as, you know, she'd help anyone, you know, she had heart of gold and all this. And, you know, it wouldn't be nice, would it? Even though, I mean, she would have known, wouldn't she? She wasn't an idiot. She would have known that he you know, he was a bit of a... But it's a
dad.
She
knew about his violence, though? Like the level of
She must
of
have
aggression.
Done. She must have done. Her mum must have said, surely. Mm. Surely. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, we don't know, but you'd have thought so. Whether she knew the extent, I don't know. So, I mean, Rogers seemed to be kind of, you know, his... I mean, can you imagine him, you know, this is the man from, who was a grown adult, was, you know, calling women just...
Slags.
Slags, yeah, no, slags, yeah, really, really derogatory.
So, right woman hater, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean,
And that's interesting.
Probably goes back to his...
Yes.
Yeah.
You took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. That does probably... That's not an excuse, but...
It is an excuse.
It's probably an explanation for...
Probably an explanation, but it's certainly not an excuse, no.
Yeah.
So I wonder how he took to... Whether it was Chanel that kind of broached it with him about, isn't it time you left? He wouldn't have liked that, would he? I wonder if that... do you know what I mean? What, yeah, being told what to do by a woman?
By a woman.
Fucking hell, you know, not having that.
You're told what to do by a woman every day.
I know, love, but I just go along with it.
You just abide by it.
Unless it's something serious. You know, love. I know which way my bread's buttered.
You
whatever
need to
the,
be told, anyway.
I do, don't I, love? Yeah. So whether, you know, whether that was a kind of, a, you know, the trigger, you know, precipitating factor for why he then did, you know, like a rage. I mean, we don't know. I mean,
yeah, there's probably
would
more
have,
to it.
Probably is, but I probably would have kind of not helped.
Mad bastard.
Whether if Lee would have, and we don't know whether Lee did, you know, it could have been Lee that said that. That said to her, they could have said it together. Can you think about moving? We don't know, do we?
Yeah.
But either way, you would have probably, you know, I've seen pictures of Lee, you know, he's quite a big sort of bloke.
Mm.
And obviously this Rogers is a grade A bully, isn't he? So he would have gone for, let's bully
well,
the female.
Well, and that's it, actually. You've kind of hit the nail on the head. I mean, he's not going to go for Lee, who's like, you know, this big fella. He's going to go for somebody who's smaller than him, who he can.
Plus he sees who's derogatory kind of thing anyway. I'm not being told what to do by a woman. Fucking hell, I'm not having that.
So on the 30th of July 2004, Lee left for work in the morning, leaving Chantelle and her dad at home. Lee later returned, perhaps for his lunch, at approximately 12:30, when he was met by a scene of utter horror. Chanel was dead in the house, having been shot twice in the head and twice in her back. It was blatantly obvious that his wife was dead.
I mean, that's horrendous, isn't it? I mean, I don't want to harp on about this because it's not nice, but imagine, you know, you're getting back and, I mean, that would have been the absolute, you know, obviously.
It would be the last thing you'd expect.
Well, obviously, it wouldn't have been the last thing. It just wouldn't have even been on the scale, would it?
Yeah.
But to see somebody with... Two shotgun, you know.
You'd
like,
never be right again, would you?
Well, I mean, we won't go on about that, but horrendous, isn't it?
So Rogers, who was obviously still in the house at the time, or still living in the house at the time, there was no sign of. A short while after, his red Peugeot 106 was found abandoned in nearby Hucknall. Again, with no sign of Rogers anywhere.
So, as we know, you know, the police are obviously going to, you know, going to look at the, you know, immediate kind of people first, aren't they?
Yeah.
Rogers, he's buggered off, his car's abandoned. Lee's been at work. So he would have had an alibi over the morning.
Yeah.
So, you know... It's
kind of obvious.
You don't need to be detective, do you? Police officer to think, not necessarily 100% Rogers,
suspect,
but
though.
It certainly would. It's certainly someone you want to speak to. So... Pretty much immediately, the massive manhunt was underway for Rogers, who, as I've just said, he was kind of the prime sort of person, prime suspect they wanted at the minute.
Mm.
The manhunt involved approximately 400 police officers from Nottinghamshire Police and also neighbouring police forces as well. It was one of the largest, or still is, one of the largest manhunts that there's ever been in Nottinghamshire, so that gives some indication of the, you know, there's a helicopter on standby as well with heat detection equipment that was also used, you know, police dogs, search dogs. So it's full on. Incidentally, actually, at the same time that the police were looking for Rogers, in the same area, the police were also searching for another murder suspect, or completely unconnected with Chanel, who was wanted for the murder of a local man who had been shot dead on his doorstep with a crossbow.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually perhaps for another episode.
Interesting.
I think the ins and outs of that, it goes back to the miners' strike, sort of they were in rival nursing on the bloody brain. They were in rival miners' unions.
Yes.
Different unions. You know, some were striking, some were breaking the strike. This is like the massive miners' strike in, I think it was it 84 to 85 in UK. And obviously there's a lot of pits in Nottinghamshire, so it's all they were before Thatcher shut them all. Again, that's another story. But I think that's where that...
That's quite interesting.
But it's just interesting that at the same time, the Nottinghamshire police were involved, were searching for someone. and Annesley Woods, where they thought Rogers was also where they thought this other fella was as well.
They crazy, isn't it? Together.
No. Well, as far as we know. But into, yeah.
Yeah. It happens like that, isn't it? Never one, it's always, usually three. So as Neil has just said, police concentrated their efforts in nearby Annesley Woods. A body was found by a member of the public on the 14th of August in St Normanton. Again, another fairly local place to all of the places we have mentioned thus far. As you may imagine, there were immediate reports speculating as to who the person was.
That's crazy though, isn't it? It's like, not only is Rogers, who's obviously we're talking about fundamentally here on this case, but there's also this other one, and then the flipping general public finding another body in as well.
Jesus. Was it Rogers, or was it the other murder suspect that the police were searching for? As it transpired, it was actually neither. Eventually, after 18 days on the run, Rogers was found by police in Annesley Woods and promptly arrested and charged with the murder of his daughter.
And I think the day before that, a shelter was found in the woods, and that's when the other fellow was found. You know, the murder suspect for the other one. So whether they did have any, I don't know. I mean, nothing's
probably
ever...
Probably not, but...
I mean, it's like... quite a large... I've never been in these woods, but I know kind of where they are. I've driven in a car and I can... And there's a lot of, you know...
It's quite out in the sticks, isn't it? Because I've been to Annesley House...
Right.
The mental health.
Oh, yeah, I took you there, didn't I, that time when you went for an interview?
Yeah, it's quite out.
Yeah.
It's lovely out there.
Yeah. Nice. Mm. Nice place. So as Rachel said, so he was taken into custody and gave up without any struggle at all when the police found him. And he was charged with the murder of Chanel. To begin with, he was claiming diminished responsibility. That was rejected by the prosecution. And he was charged with murder. He was remanded to Lincoln Prison. Lincoln's a lovely place, isn't it? Lincoln Prison, I've only ever drove by. Old Victorian style prison. It looks fucking grim.
Lincoln is lovely, though.
No, yeah. The prison,
loads
not so
loads of characters, and it's really nice.
Yeah. So, when he was on remand, so he's in Lincoln Prison on remand, and at one stage he mentioned a wish to kill himself. And... he was also found in a cell with half a bottle of some tablets on one day as well.
Fucking
and shoelaces.
Him.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not obviously a prison officer, but where's the searching coming here?
Ah, people know the system, though, don't they?
Yeah, but he's a murder suspect. I mean, I don't know.
You
know, it seems to be critical, I know.
Prisons, eh? At one stage during the remand period, Rogers was detained to Arnall Lodge under a section of the Mental Health Act. Unsure as to what section, I presume a section 37, or it could be...
No, it'd be a 37, just hospital order, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because the 41 elements, the Home Office...
That would be the restriction part of it, yeah. However, after a further period of assessment, he was deemed as medically fit to stand trial and was sent back to Lincoln Prison.
I bet he fucking loved that, didn't he? Not...
Yeah.
Because he would have perceived as... Yeah.
Although, to be fair... You know, like when people go on a 37 and they're like being assessed and treated for mental health, a lot of the time they end up spending a lot more time in hospital than they would have if they were in prison.
Yeah, I think we've both seen that. I certainly have, yeah.
People think it's an easy way out, don't they? But it's not.
Yeah, but that's only because we work in a system. I mean, I remember a particular person, patient, that... She'd kind of gone through the system. She was at Rampton, which is high secure, then Arnold Lodge medium. Then she went to a low secure. Then she came to where I was working at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, she said, I remember her saying that, you know, if I'd not had mental health problems, I'd have been out years ago.
Yeah.
Obviously, I made no comment to that, but it's absolutely true. But I'm thinking, though, we work in the... So, Rogers, he probably wouldn't have...
No, he would have.
He would have thought, oh yeah, you know, this
easier
is
easier way.
So Arnold Lodge, we mentioned Arnold Lodge in previous episodes. That's medium secure, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for the last few months of Roger's life, before he successfully, in effect, killed himself, so he spent on remand, And he said, I mean, this is, you can't really, he said to staff that he wanted to die to be with his daughter. I mean,
that's a bit ironic, isn't it?
Twat, isn't he? So for so long, several weeks up until when he died, he existed on just 3 litres of orange juice a day, refused all food. Now, because he was deemed as he wasn't mentally unwell, he wasn't under any. They couldn't force feed him. He breaches human rights. Mm. It was his choice, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
But it's just...
Until, though, is there not life. A thing of, like, until it's to the point where...
Yeah.
I don't know what the point is, well, but you know what I'm trying to say.
That he's needing immediate hospital care to save his life.
And doesn't have the capacity anymore because he's unconscious or whatever.
So, I mean...
It's difficult,
the actual ins and outs... Yeah, I mean, obviously, they would have... There'd been several consultants involved in this, wouldn't
it? Oh, God, and a whole legal team as well.
Oh, yeah, of the NHS Trust, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to stomach, though, isn't it, that he kind of took control, didn't he? Avoided trial, avoided any punishment. I mean...
You see it a lot, though. Remember we did an episode on the Craigslist killer, Philip Markov, and it was the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, Brady tried this, didn't he? One of the Moors murderers, Ian Brady. Mm. But because he was, where was he? He was at Broadmoor, wasn't he? Near Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
He was force-fed. Because he was, so he.
That's not a way I'd want to die.
No, but...
Jeannie Mac.
Yeah, but... Well, no, I mean, I never thought about
that.
That's
a very slow, process, isn't it? It's a slow process.
It's not as slow as serving, I don't know.
That's true. So Rogers eventually succeeded in his aim of killing himself, and he died on the 6th of March 2006, the cause of death being pneumonia caused in part by malnutrition.
Mm.
He never fully explained as to what happened the day of Chanel's murder and why he carried it out. It was clearly a cold-blooded murder and a shooting in which he shot her a total of 4 times with a double-barreled shotgun, therefore having to reload for the last 2 shots.
Well, that's, isn't it? You know, it's not like...
It's not just a
like he shot her once.
Yeah.
He would have shot her, obviously double-barreled, two. Shot her twice, and actually the time to reload it again and then shot her again.
Crazy.
You know.
But he did own up to doing it, right? He just never explained why.
Yeah, but as we've said, to start with, it was diminished responsibility, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he was wanting. yeah, but I didn't know why we're doing it. You know, I wasn't in...
Yeah. So Roger's ex-wife, Chanel's mum, said that Rogers had cheated justice and took the coward's way out.
Yeah, I mean, he was ex-wife because he died, it was March 2006.
Yeah.
So by that time, she would have obviously fucking murdering the daughter, her daughter, she would have been.
Yeah.
So we hope you've enjoyed this episode.
It's grim though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it's true crime, isn't it? But that's not to say we don't give a shit about the people. Because when you start researching something, you know, you read a bit about... You read quite a bit about the person and what they wanted. And on this one, you know, Lee, Chanel's husband, was like, you know, she would have been a brilliant mum. You know, we spoke about kids. She wanted children and all this. And it's just so sad, isn't it? Like it always is.
He's getting on now. I mean, it's like, what?
16 years.
16 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's something you're never going to...
I wonder, did he remarry and stuff?
I don't know.
I'd like to think he did.
Well, yeah.
Or, you know, it's just happy, okay. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
We'll see you next time.
As always, catch us on facebook.com/madorbad. You can catch us on Twitter. Our handle is @madorbadthepod. And also, we now have a Patreon account, so please go look us up. It is patreon.com/madorbad. You can access exclusive content. We have exclusive episodes only available to Patreon supporters. So, go find us.